Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. The Reverend John Folley is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Amos chapter 9. You may be seated. In that day, I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen and repair its breaches and raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Epiphany, a season of the church year that highlights biblical texts which are God's revelation to the world, that Jesus is the Son of God and Son of Man, the Lord of all creation, yet a humble servant to be the sacrificial Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and invites all to the kingdom of God through faith in him. I've got to tell you, using the book of Amos as an epiphany text is a bit of a head scratcher at first read. There is no good news in this 9 chapters prophetic speech from God, that is, until these last 5 verses. There is no word of redemption in Amos, only condemnation, except for these 5 scant verses. Epiphany is to shed light, to reveal, to give insight into the salvific mercy of God in Jesus. And there would be little good news from Amos were it not for these 5 verses. And yet, these 5 verses overshadow, overpower, and overwhelm the previous 69 verses of threats and condemnation. These 5 verses of gospel contain God's promise that even though he would punish his chosen people because of their unfaithfulness and their rebellious lives, he would send Messiah to sit on the throne of David to establish God's kingdom and call all people, Jew and Gentile, to live in this kingdom. This is the Messiah that people waited over 500 years for. Not only will God establish the kingdom through Messiah, but God says the growth of the kingdom will be fast and it will be exponential. To make this point, Amos uses a bit of hyperbole to exaggerate the point. Imagine this. That God paints this picture, the one who is plowing a field in preparation for seeding a new crop will overtake the one busily gathering in the harvest from the previous season. And the one who treads the grapes in the winepress will be working so quickly that he overtakes the one who is sowing the future crops. This exaggerated revelation to Amos is not the fantastic dream of an overenthusiastic visionary. No, Amos was just a simple shepherd. This was the unfailing decree of the Lord, who alone can and who alone will accomplish all of this through David's greater son, because this one is I am that I am. The dramatic growth of God's kingdom was intended by God to be a sign to the people of Israel that Messiah had come. This sign was fulfilled on Pentecost as thousands of people heard the gospel of God's redemption through the sacrificial death and resurrection in Jesus and believed on him. But instead of reading the sign based on Old Testament prophecy, Peter and the apostles were despised, and yet God gave the growth. The book of Acts contains several incidents of how quickly the church grew, thousands upon thousands, as people rejoiced in hearing the good news of God's redemption in Jesus, and they believed in his name. A more shocking sign for them, attesting that Messiah had come, would be the gathering of Gentiles into the kingdom of God, not by works, not by keeping the law, but by trusting in this one who had come to redeem them. The honor of being called God's chosen one would no longer be restricted to one nation, as was in the Old Covenant. In the New Testament, this honor is granted to believers from every nation, every race, and every tongue. Interestingly, the book of Acts records also for us that in the days of the early church, the recognition of Gentiles as God's chosen ones, his elect ones, came with the attached condition of some demanding that Gentiles must keep the law of Moses in order to be saved. Chapter 15 specifically captures the encounter that Paul and Barnabas had with some Jewish believers who insisted that a person could not be saved unless they were circumcised according to the custom of Moses. When they couldn't reach resolution, a delegation was formed for them to go up to Jerusalem and to consult with the apostles and the elders. Even there, as the apostles and the elders were gathered together, the text says that some from among the Pharisees, who did believe that Jesus was the promised Messiah, insisted that believers must observe the law of Moses. And then after much debate, Peter and James address this gathering. And so Luke records for us, after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And then, when it's James's turn, the brother of our Lord Jesus, who had become one of the pillars and elders of the early church, James references by heart this very text from Amos, that the calling of Gentiles by grace alone, through faith alone in Messiah, was prophesied by God. This is what he had intended from the very beginning. A shocking sign for the people so steeped in the law to the point of exaggeration, yes. But perhaps this shocking sign is the most important and meaningful sign for us. Certainly the most comforting. Messiah would be the perfect son, keeping the law of God perfectly for everyone, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said he came to fulfill the law of God that we poor sinners cannot and most certainly would not. Jesus' ultimate act under the law is that he is also God's perfect sacrificial lamb, taking your sin from you and bearing it in his own body on the cross, shedding his blood in this atoning act to cover your unrighteousness, your unfaithfulness. Jesus has removed from you the demands of the law. He has removed from you the curse of the law, which is eternal death. You have life in his name. And you live in a kingdom that will never, ever come to an end. And you will inherit all of the riches that belong to Christ in this kingdom. Epiphany is a season to give God thanks. Thanks that in his mercy, he has called me. He has chosen me. Just as he has called and chosen millions of Gentiles before me, before us, and will continue to do so as long as his church is the church militant on this earth. He has called you by this very gospel that Jesus first spoke, that he first revealed from the Father. And it is a gospel that has been repeated faithfully for 2,000 years. It is through this gospel and it alone that the Holy Spirit calls people to faith, enlightens them with our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and eternal life, and keeps in that one true faith. Isn't it a wonderful calling that he has now given to us, his church, to bring this gospel, this absolutely delightful news, to your neighbors, your friends and family, even to the enemies of the gospel, and throughout all of the world, to every race and to every tongue? May God grant it to show you the doors that he opens for you to be a part of that. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.